This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 4th, 2014. The Third Sunday in Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Stay with us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Interesting that we heard this gospel account during Holy Week, and we hear it again today. We're discussing before the earlier Mass in the sacristy about this repetition of things. I said it really doesn't matter how many times you repeat this gospel. You could, and I mean this in all seriousness, you could preach on it for 20 or 25 years worth of Sundays, probably plus, because there is so much theology ingrained. It is so pregnant with the truths of God. Theologically speaking, yes, but where I want to go today is much more practical. I want us to think, you know, and I always emphasize that we must live a practical Catholicity. We live our faith. We don't show up here on Sundays and, you know, do whatever we're supposed to do in here and say the prayers that we're supposed to say. You ought to live it. You ought to let it speak to you. Your heart ought to, as the disciples in this case, burn within you when you know the truth of the gospel claims of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do this as we go through this. Kind of put yourself in the shoes of these disciples. What is a disciple? A follower of someone. You are no different, a disciple of Jesus Christ, than these two that were walking this road. Okay? You are no different. So what they say applies to them, what Jesus says to them applies to you. Make it practical. Make it very practical. Start with this. The words as I started this homily, stay with us. Stay with us. Jesus Christ is constrained by his disciples. Never lose sight of that fact. Okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ never forces himself on anyone, ever. He does not force himself on us. He doesn't make you come, although he could. I mean, he could do those God kind of things. A lot of people look at the fall. Why didn't he just do this? Why didn't he just do that? That sounds all well and good when you're talking about things that would benefit, but why doesn't he make you do the things you're supposed to do? Why doesn't he make you go to confession once a year? Why doesn't he make you come to Mass every single Sunday? He doesn't do that because that's not the way he is. He wants love, and it is not love if it's constrained. He loves you, and Jesus is constrained by his disciples willingly in faith. Our Lord never forces himself on anyone. I said before that you are disciples just like these two that were on the road to Emmaus. St. Augustine actually drives the point home a little bit further. I'll quote from him, but before he says this, I'll sum it up in words that are more colloquial. With all due respect to these two guys, and he's speaking of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he says, and I quote from St. Augustine, they were not yet believers. What? They weren't yet believers. They were disciples. They walked with Jesus. You know, they saw him do all kinds of things. They experienced all kinds of things. They experienced the miracles. They saw all these things. Yes, they did. There's a lot of people in our day and age, you probably know some in your own family or some of your own friends, some who attend Mass in the same place, where they come in and they're here, but then when they get outside, it's a whole different kind of thing. It's the people that don't truly believe. Just because you come here every Sunday doesn't mean you believe. Belief is something much more deep than that. Belief is just that, belief. Truly embracing a truth. And these disciples on the road to Emmaus, and maybe some of us, are not yet believers. Again, we see, we hear, we come to Mass, we receive the sacrament, but do we really believe? You are actually in a better spot currently than they are when this was written. Because I pray God that you're here because you believe that our Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, that he is a risen Lord. If you truly believe that, that's why you should be here. These guys don't believe that yet. They're looking right at him, and they can't recognize him. And we thought he was going to redeem Israel. You know? He didn't. Had he not told them time and time again when he was walking with them? The Son of Man is going to be handed over to evil men. He will be spat upon and crucified and scourged, and he will die, and the third day he will rise again. If they truly believed what he said, wouldn't they have just gone somewhere and hung out for 3 days and waited and gone back and, hey, you don't have anything to work. We don't even have to go to the tomb. He said he was going to rise. Why do I have to go look at the empty tomb? They didn't believe yet. They didn't believe. We have to be taught. We have to learn from his word. Again, put yourselves in the journey of these two on the way to Emmaus. We are on a journey in this world. We are on a path to a destination. And just like them, he opens to us the scriptures, and he opens our eyes. That is Holy Mass. It is the Mass. The Mass can be broken down in all kinds of ways, but primarily, it can be bifurcated into the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. It's one act of worship, but two different parts. The liturgy of the Word. That's how it starts, right? We have the readings, we have the homily, we have the general intercessions. Those are the liturgy of the Word. That's where we learn about things. That's where we receive cognitive information. Our Savior speaking to us through his scriptures and through the homilies. That's the liturgy of the Word. If you receive that Word in faith, the inescapable effect of receiving that word, the inescapable effect of being taught correctly, what is taught correctly? Taught correctly is when the teachings of Scripture are held within the parameters of the way the Church has always viewed them, and not in what we ourselves interpret them, or the way our a little group here or there interprets them, but the way Holy Church has always interpreted them. If they are taught correctly, again, within those parameters, and received with faith, then you start to understand cognitively. You get it. You can appreciate it. Jesus speaks of the harmony of the Testaments. Never fall into this trap of the Old and New Testament. Now, you can drive down the street and see different ecclesial bodies with signs in front of them, and it'll say, we're a New Testament church. What is that? What's a New Testament church? I'll tell you what, folks, when Jesus is talking to these two folks, and he opened the scriptures to us, he did not bust open the Douay Rheims or the Jerusalem Bible or the NAB or the good old King James and recite it. Guess what? They hadn't been written yet. Guess what? The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So when Jesus opens to them the scriptures, he is talking about the Old Testament. He talks about what Moses spoke of me. That's the first five books of the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Those very first books of the Bible speak of Jesus Christ. The Psalms speak of Jesus Christ in their entirety. Not the ones that are warm and fuzzy and the ones we like. All of them speak of Jesus Christ. All the prophets spoke of Jesus Christ. And Jesus sees the harmony of these, he demonstrates the harmony of these testaments to us. Never fall into that, you know, splitting the two. It is just the scriptures. It is just his truth to us. That's the liturgy of the Word. But then you have the liturgy of the Eucharist. You have to understand this. A little historical note. Kind of puts you in perspective of how the Church views the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. Back in the earliest days of the Church, when you were in the catechumenate for years, 2, 3, 5, 7 years as a catechumenate, guess what? You came to Mass and you heard the liturgy of the Word. And guess what happened when the liturgy of the Word was over? You were escorted out of the Church. You were escorted out of the Church because the liturgy of the Eucharist is for baptized and confirmed believers, people who truly embrace the truths that you learn. The liturgy of the Word, we learn truths. You might not necessarily be there. It might be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, not maybe getting it. But for the Eucharist, that is where your eyes are open. That is where your eyes are open. Their eyes were opened and they recognized our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Their hearts were burning within them. They were burning with gladness. If you step back and look at what, when we talk about the real presence of Christ, we have to understand that we gain strength from Christ's unceasing presence. Yes, of course, in his word, but even more so, and vastly more so, in the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist opens our eyes to the fact that, for instance, we share with the inhabitants of heaven. the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go to heaven and see Jesus. They don't see him any more really than you do in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, if you truly embrace what the Church teaches. You receive within yourself the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ every time you come to the altar rail. You should. I would caution, if you don't really believe that, you might want to refrain from coming up here until we work that stuff out. Okay? But if you truly believe it, the gladness within you should truly make your heart burn within you. Because, again, put yourself in the understanding that loved ones whom you have lost, friends, family members, that are in their glory, you share the same presence of Christ that they share through the Eucharist. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in that one act of worship, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, that is where we come to truly recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when that happens to you, you can't help but to get excited about this whole thing. And I mean excited to the point where you look forward to going out and sharing the truth with other people. You want to invite people to church. You want people to recognize that this place is here. You want them to embrace and truly understand what you have been given. These disciples, when their eyes are open, remember, and this is an interesting thing, during Holy Week, in the old breviary, it's repeated every single day, morning and evening, that one little part in there about they constrained him because the day was far spent. You say, what's that all about? Why would you repeat that every day during Holy Week? Again, because we are to constrain our Lord Jesus Christ to be present with us. And when the day is far spent, you see these people from a practical standpoint. Remember, it's getting dark. You don't live in the days of streetlights coming on and, you know, that kind of thing here. When they see and they recognize, they leave immediately and they go to Jerusalem. We know for a fact from the reading that that was 7 miles away. They didn't jump in the Prius and drive 7 miles to Jerusalem. They didn't do that. They walked in the dark. There were no cops back in those days, but there were a lot of robbers. There were even things walking around that desert that would grab you and eat you. And they didn't care. They were so excited about the truth that their eyes, to which their eyes had been opened, they wanted to get with the other disciples and share with them that they had seen the risen Christ. We should all be that excited to share with one another and with particularly those who, as it says in the Fatima prayer, who may be farthest from him. We want to share that. Because now, when their eyes were open, is when these folks became true believers. There might be a point in your life when, man, it hit me. Now, I really get this. You've been a member of the church for 25, 30, 35, 40 years, whatever. But now I truly believe. Because when that happens, then you cannot help but to engage in your apostolate. So I'm not an apostle. Yes, you are, small a. We all are. We are all messengers of Jesus Christ. And if you are truly an apostle, the words that these people who did not truly believe said to our Savior about having their eyes open, their hearts burning within them, and I don't want to have this Pollyannish view that everybody to whom you speak about the things of the faith is going to be a convert. I have some bad news for you. The vast, vast majority of them will not become converts. But the ones that do, through your assistance, wouldn't it be great that as you get old, maybe you'll hear it, but on the other side of the veil, you will truly hear it, that someone in this planet, someone on the face of this earth who was farthest from Christ may say, did not my heart burn within me when he used to speak of the scriptures, when he or she used to cross himself, when I thought that was so much silliness before they ate? Didn't my heart burn within me when they did that? Because you are exhibiting a truth, the truth claims of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is apostolate. You are truly a disciple. Never lose sight of that when you read the scriptures, no matter what the story may be, but particularly ones like this, that it is for you. It is you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.